Meeting to order. Compliance with open meeting law?
Yes, yes, it's wherever it needs to be. I don't remember everything Courtney says, but I checked.
I need approval of the agenda.
We approve the agenda. I'll second.
All those in favor of the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Approval of minutes of May 17th of 2023.
Progress.
Okay, number five, public comment communication.
Hold it, Gary.
Just a minute, Gary. Turn your volume off.
That'll do it. Sorry, I'm reverberating over here. Let's see if that does it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Now you're good.
Okay. Number five, public comment communication. Benefits specialist newsletter.
So did you get a copy of that? It's still doing it.
And now I've got my volume. So I just wanted to point out this. This newsletter goes out to the state, and our elder benefit specialist, Emily, got a couple items in here, which is really nice. It's not the first time that has happened, but it's kind of nice. So I don't know if you had a chance to read it or not, but it was both just helping clients in ways they needed to be helped. So I won't read it to you, but if you take a look at it, it's just one of those things that is nice to have happen, that they do good work. So
I only got the first page.
Yeah. What's that? Yeah, and it's right, the first two paragraphs are where she is. Right.
Yeah.
And the second one is really kind of interesting because it was the client had come in, he was disenrolled from his Part D plan with another beneficiary. But the same first and last name chose a new plan, and they got them mixed up. Medicare, both plans had mixed the two beneficiaries up, even though they had different middle names and Medicare ID numbers. And this took over a month to resolve, as Medicare and the plans were still confused about the situation. So she ended up, it was quite a mess. So I think everything... You think things like that are that don't happen, but they do happen.
And then sometimes the Medicare people are so rude to them. I mean, they are in Janesville. I'm telling you, they're much nicer here in Grand County.
Yes,
makes it hard.
Our Medicare person is delightful. So we do have that, and then we did have. And some of you have already seen this. PH did an article on one of our longtime volunteers in Cuba City, Ruth Slots. Ruth is in her 90s, and she's been volunteering for us for a long time. So I will pass that around as well. So they just did a nice little article on her as well. And she volunteers every day for us pretty much. So she's pretty amazing. Mm.
Okay, number six, advocacy report and activities or activities.
Diane, were you at the regional board? Well, they did an update on aging advocacy, which I think I informed you about. I told you what they were going over. And then they did an elder abuse. They talked about elder abuse awareness day. So an elder abuse awareness day was last Thursday, I think it was. So we did a little thing here too. We asked departments to wear purple, and we got some people in the county to wear purple. So that was nice. And again, just looking at, I don't think people think elder abuse happens out here, but it happens all the time. And we, when we did the scam workshop, they talked about how many residents just in Grant County had been scammed for several thousands of dollars. And unfortunately, a lot of times with elder abuse, people think just abuse like, you know, physical, which it can be. But I mean, it can be, you know, it can be fraud, it can be abuse, it can be emotional abuse, it can be anything. More common than you realize. So scary, but true. So. And then we've got Medicare 101 coming up on Friday this week at 1:30. Emily will be doing that. So this is her third one this year. She's had pretty good attendance at all of them. So we'll be moving forward with that.
Okay. Oh, number seven then, transportation.
Okay. So last month we talked about transportation and taxi fares and taxi vouchers and different things. As far as the vouchers go, that is an opportunity. I'm not sure that's something we could even do this year yet because I don't have it written into the budget, but it is something I think we could think about for next year. And we might actually, depending on where we sit with the budget, we might be able to start. I'd have to talk to DOT. Because that would come out of our 85-21, it wouldn't actually come out of our taxi budget. And that would be to provide maybe a coupon in the Platteville area for their taxi, since it's gone up considerably. We've heard some complaints on that, even though it has nothing to do with us. The other thing was our taxi fares. I had talked about, and again, Pat, can you hear me okay?
Yep, I can.
Okay. We had talked about the taxi fares, so I just did some of our transportation fares from 2018, so pre-pandemic to now. And if you look back in 2018, we were doing about 4,400 rides. And that's not ride per person. That's like one person could have three rides. So it's every stop is a ride. In 2019, we did about 4,200. In 2020, we maintained at about that 4,200, 4,300. Even though everything else shut down, we did keep the taxi open. In 21, and we started offering free fares in 20. In 21, we actually increased to almost 5,000. Now in 22, with the fares back implemented again, we were down to 4,000. And the first quarter results are 1,050. So we're going to be tracking probably right in that 4,200 again. So we're kind of back to what we were before. We talked about maybe just doing a dollar a ride. Right now it's the $2 for the first ride, 50 cents in between, and $2 for the last. And we talked about doing a dollar per ride. Mariah had talked to John about it a little bit, and he was a little concerned in the Lancaster area because we do more rides in Lancaster. Unfortunately, I can't split. Our spreadsheet doesn't split them out by town right now. So I literally have to go through. However, one of the considerations that I'm not sure he was thinking of when he said that was we do a lot of family care rides in Lancaster, probably anywhere between a third and a half of the rides are family care rides. Family care rides aren't going to change because they get authorized. So a person will get authorized for say 10 rides during the month. And those you guys already approved, those are $4 per ride. Because we usually charge family care the actual cost of services. So those shouldn't change. So I still think, you know, in the midst of the pandemic, we did 5,000 rides. And that being said, we didn't share any of those rides. We were doing them singular because we didn't want, it is a shared ride taxi, so we can pick people up along the way, but we didn't do that in 21. So my thought is I think it could be doable. I think if it would get too overwhelming, then we might look at maybe providing another day in Lancaster or something like that to, you know, with our wheelchair van or something to even it out so it wasn't so crazy. Because the reality is in Baskerville and Fenimore, we're just not picking up that many riders. There's a lot of downtime. And that seems silly to me when we know, obviously, people would use it when it was free. And granted, I get that. But I'd rather pay it to be in use than pay it to be sitting somewhere. Because either way, we've got a driver burning gas. So your thoughts on that? I guess, you know, we had talked about the dollar. I think he's a little leery in Lancaster, but we can't split the fares. You know, I'm not going to do one fare in Baskerville and Fenimore and one fare in Lancaster, because that wouldn't be fair. Wouldn't be a fair fare. So your thoughts on that?
So you think it's not used in Baskerville because of the cost?
I do. I think
it doesn't need to be promoted.
I think that's a little bit of both, but I think the dollar would help some. The one thing with the taxi is we can serve the public if we're not serving other people. So we always have to make sure that we serve seniors and people with disability. They have, we absolutely have to. And the majority, there's a high percentage of that. But there is other people that could use it on those days as well.
A full fare or as that reduced fare?
The full fare, that would be dependent, I guess. That would be up to you guys. If you wanted to, we've never done a reduced fare for the public because we don't get that many. We probably got more during the pandemic. I would say in 21, we probably had a significant more, of public. But there again, I think that was more of a public service too, just to get people around that didn't want to necessarily ride with somebody else. And I think it's doable. I don't want to put more pressure on John, but I would also like to see more rides be available to people. I just don't like the fact that people aren't using it. I think it's.
So if you think it's doable, we would go ahead and try it. Is there anything that says that we can make a change later? I mean,
I was thinking that too, like in the
trial. I mean, I would agree if it increases the opportunity for people to have that transportation needed.
I mean, you guys all, I guess you always have the ability to probably change the fare. I don't know that we're going to see anything in a few months. I think it would probably take, my thought would be if it increases Lancaster that much, then I think the real thing is then maybe we need to add more time in Lancaster. I mean, if he's that busy in Lancaster, then why not provide more time there? Versus if it doesn't do anything in Baskerville, Fenimore, then maybe we look at that. Then maybe we say Fenimore needs a day.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we might as well offer it where it's used the most. But I would hate to do that right now based just on the numbers because, again, food costs are so high right now. Gas is high. So it might, I don't want it to be a burden for people. And I think in Fenimore and Baskerville, it could be. So a lot of our seniors in that area are certainly lower income. Mm-hmm. We do try to then tell, we do have more bus riders coming from that area now. We're seeing an increase there. So, but again, that's, once or twice a month. So you want to think about it? I can actually bring you, I just need more time if I'm going to break it down by city, but it can be done easily enough. I can have Kathy work on that if you want a little bit more information by city, how many rides we're doing. And I can break it down by family care too. So, because I don't think he thought that. And I think maybe if we presented him with that information, he might, I don't know. I just did a couple months worth and looked, and I think one of them, 60% of the rides were family, or 43% of the rides were family care, and 26% of the rides were family care. So about one in three. Pat, are you talking?
Nope, I'm right here.
Okay. I thought I heard you, so I wanted to make sure.
I'm sorry. I kind of think we should give it a try and wait another month.
Yeah, well,
there's a month for the driver to sit around. Yeah. So
what we could do.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. People, there's a lot going on. There is a need, yes.
Yeah.
What we could do, I'm trying to think, I wonder, there have been times, I think, where people have offered free services, so maybe we could offer a temporary promotion or something to as a trial basis, and then see how it goes, and then you could deter, just to get people interested in it, maybe. I don't see why we couldn't do that. That way, we put a parameter on it, and then if we find it successful but doable, you could leave it in place, or it could just be, you know, we're giving you the opportunity to ride the taxi at a reduced rate. Mm-hmm.
I think you should. Do you need a motion?
Motion.
Yes, we would. Are you interested in doing it that way in terms of just a promotional thing?
I think a promotion's great. Thing because it's kind of like you go to a store and you have a sample.
Exactly.
Or do you find it's easy enough to do? It's not complicated, so
yes, familiar.
Yeah.
So I'll make that motion.
Would there be a time limit?
I think we'd probably look at it as a summer promotion. Maybe we can bill it as a summer promotion.
I think that would be great.
And that kind of makes sense then, that we're just doing it for that.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay,
a motion made and second. We have a promotional fee on transportation for ADRC. All in favor?
Aye.
Christian?
All right. So we've been looking, let me get to the easy ones first. We have put the position filled in Cuba City right now. We were able to hire somebody, but we only hired at about a 3 to 4 days per week. So we're still using a sub there a little bit. We're kind of letting Cheryl Kern took the position. We're letting Cheryl and our sub Mary Jo kind of work that out. And we started advertising Cuba as less than 5 days a week because we weren't getting any apps 5 days a week. So we offered it 3 to 5 days a week in order to get somebody there. So we are happy. Cheryl's got an RN background, so she makes a nice, she'll complement it very nicely. At the Platteville Meal Site Manager, we had hired Ginny Schaefer, with the intent of actually possibly having her somewhere else, but she's done a phenomenal job in Platteville. She's got a lot of experience. She's been a meal site manager in other parts of the state for years, and she's done a really good job with the move, and it was just really nice to have somebody experienced in there. She's decided to stay there. So we're going to leave her alone because she's been doing a really good job. So we're pretty happy about that. The Bagley route is getting to be a bit of a challenge for us, because we don't have a lot of people getting meals down there. Some days, you know, two, some days three. We haven't picked up any more meals. The problem is we don't have a driver right now. We cannot attract drivers very easily. We're changing some of our asks for that to see if we can get somebody, but right now we don't. So pretty much Courtney and I and Mariah and whoever we can wrangle to do the route has been doing it. So we've been trying to look at it. I know it's a route we could give up. However, it's probably my own ego involved here, but I feel like I've closed meal sites, and I think, you know, and every time we've closed a meal site, I think we've done it for good reasons. But with Blue River closing, we still have a vehicle that goes through there, and so we can deliver meals to people who really need it. If we close in Bagley, we're not going to have that option because there's just nothing there to really do that. So I do worry about that because we're getting more and more people in those rural areas that need meals, and we're trying to figure out how to do that. One of the things that we have looked at down there is there is a little restaurant. And we've been putting a little pressure on the state because the state has not been willing to offer up these restaurant options very, there's hardly any in the state because they put so many restrictions in place in order to do it. And we were told last year that we couldn't even do it without a full-time nutrition coordinator. And I'm like, well, we've never had a full-time nutrition coordinator, so that's probably not going to happen. And so we've been pushing back on that a little bit. So there is this little restaurant option down there. There is some interest. It is not accessible, though. It's got a couple steps into it. So we've talked to the state about that. The one reason I would kind of like to try it, or at least see if we can try it again. I don't know that they're, when they hear all of the things we have to do, they might not be as interested. I would like to try it because it is an area that if it doesn't work out and we have to pull out, it's not affecting that many people. So it's going to be a last ditch effort to maybe keep something there. But we can't keep up what we're doing, obviously. And I kind of feel like if we could get that and use that as, here's our last ditch effort to the state, they might be, this is terrible, but it might be a little more leverage to say, we're really trying here, but if you're not going to allow us to do this, it would probably mean Courtney and I have to go down to Bagley once a month, but you know, once a month sounds pretty good versus three times a week. Although I'm getting pretty used to the drive. So we are kind of looking at that. I just wanted your thoughts on it. I mean, there is the option to pull out of Bagley. You know, we did pull out of the congregate site because we didn't, number one, we didn't have a meal site manager anymore. We've never had a huge, we used to probably always have, we never used to home deliver in Bagley. So we used to have about 8 to 10 people. Some of those people have, of course, passed away. I do think the restaurant option would probably appeal to some. And in my opinion, it's kind of a nice thing because it supports a local business, which is a nice thing. But like I said, the accessibility could be an issue, but there would be an option of takeout. I think we would have to somehow accommodate those people. I don't like that they couldn't necessarily get in there, but you know, there isn't a lot of options there. So I just wanted your thoughts. If you think we should pursue it, if you think we need to just pull out, what's your thoughts?
How many patrons do you have?
Right now, we're delivering pretty consistently to three.
Three.
Now, in the past, during the pandemic, we were probably closer to six. So it's not a lot. Now, if it becomes a restaurant option, we could maybe get more. She does just a nice little special. And the reason we got looking at it is I kind of happened upon it. And she does a nice little special every day that's very similar to kind of some of the stuff that we offer. So we thought, well, it's not going to take much, you know, smaller portions. It probably wouldn't take much. The other thing is when we're looking at something like this, because we bid out vendors, you know, we couldn't do this in, say, Boscoville, where we've got a huge amount of people, because our vendors wouldn't like that very well. This is a very small amount. So what I looked at it was kind of a trial basis. And if we got our foot in the door with the state and got them to approve it, then we should be able to do it in other areas if it comes up and we need it. But if it doesn't pan out well, or we don't think it's a good thing, we haven't affected too many people.
That's the business that was just recently sold.
I don't know. It's the one I can't think of the name of it. It's Bagley Store.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
There's one restaurant. Well, there's like three different small restaurants in Bagley.
Oh. Okay.
One's fairly large, and that was sold not too long ago. And then across the street, there's another small one. One school teacher. She just sold that. And then
this one. And the only wasn't this one caught my eyes. She's doing these the little specials that really looked very similar.
They opened the old store and put a counter in.
So. To what we do.
So it makes sense. I just was trying to figure out which one.
My question would be, these six people, can they drive or get to the restaurant?
I think we could work that out. I think they're all a close-knit group already. So when one's got to go to the doctor, somebody already takes their meal and gets it to them. They already do that. Okay. So I think, yes, I think
it's
we could work that out.
Clutch place in town.
I think we could work that out. I mean, we did talk about, well, could they deliver? And, you know, I mean, I don't know that they've got that capability now, but Bagley's a pretty close-knit little group out there. So I think we could maybe find someone. Again, and I realize, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's probably, you know, we could easily close it. We've certainly talked about it. Courtney and I have gone back and forth on it. But there again, I think we need to do a restaurant option. We've been talking about it. It's been a goal of mine for a while. I just think we could put a little pressure and make them do it. I know right now, I think there's about two or three programs that maybe have it, and Gene said they were looking at approving maybe two more. So there's not a lot within the state. And the difference between the restaurant option, there are places that have restaurants, but the way the state does it right now is we could have a restaurant option, but I also have to have a meal site manager there. So with the voucher, I don't have to have a meal site manager. But I have to go, or Courtney has to go. What's that?
You still need to approve the menu?
Yeah.
Or some.
Yes. Yeah, we have to have a dietitian approve it. I'm not a dietitian. Clearly, by my diet, I am not a dietitian.
I would like to see you continue to see what could be done. Mm-hmm. Because even in a couple of things that would keep that Blue River piece open.
Yes.
And then you described this group. It's a close-knit group. And a lot of, I hate to think of even three people in a community.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have access to that meal, that are friends.
Well,
I mean,
and I think
a lot of it would be the social.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And there are other little burgs. I mean, clearly there's a place in Mount Hope that is very popular. And, you know, there are other little places around that.
What have you got to lose not trying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a problem because do we need to bid it out like we have for I really kind of felt like it's just a little trial, and
I think you, again, trial basis.
Don't think our vendors are going to notice a whole lot of the difference in, you know, what we do. So, okay.
Where does that food come from?
Lancaster. So, okay, we will continue to pursue it. I don't think I need a motion at this point. If we can really get. We can get the state to really go for it, then I'll come back. But I've been pushing pretty hard because we're not getting what we need from them. And it's you know, we're seeing a big decline, and there's been directors across the state saying, you know, if they wanted to be at our congregate sites, they'd already be there. The ones that want to be there are there. So and the rest. Under that nutrition, I think I can say this, I don't have it, but it's regarding Platteville. So we are still looking for a site in Platteville, just for people to congregate, because we did find a loophole. Courtney did some research during the pandemic and we found a loophole where we can get people to congregate. And as long as we've kind of got, we can either Zoom it or we can do some things, we can have somebody kind of in charge volunteer. We can, if they congregate in one place with their meals, we can count that as a congregate site because we haven't found a congregate site yet. So I did talk with the senior center about that, whether they would have any space or not. She had a lot of concerns at first. Carpet, new carpet, not a lot of space there. I haven't been in it, so I don't know what it looks like. But she did send me back an email the other day with a round table with six chairs. And said maybe this could work, and well, could work if we don't get more than six people. So I am going to pursue looking at some other spots.
Well, I have a question because I was on at the Commission on Aging meeting the other day. The question, I think they'd be open to it, but there's that some of the seniors are saying, why can't have like 8 to 10 meals delivered there? Because it's somebody right now would have to go to the armory with a list of who the people were having signed off. And some of the people on that commission just feel like it could end up being very cumbersome. But I think that if there's a way that it could be, however it would be, the steps would be if the senior center could grow the number of people for a congregate meal, because they would have the space, but they don't want to, they're concerned about sending somebody to the armory with the paperwork, who's there, and then what happens if somebody doesn't come. But then you just mentioned the Zoom. Is that a...
It can be Zoomed. I don't think that's an ideal option, but I mean, okay. we have to work within our guidelines as well. And so a takeout meal right now, unless we can say they're going to a site and we have evidence and they sign in at that site, a takeout meal right now is considered home delivered and charged to home delivered. Do I think it should be? No, but it is. Those are the rules we have to live in. We do not have the capacity right now to deliver those. We just don't. You know, we're already delivering anywhere from 73 to 80 meals in a day. Our volunteers are stretched. If the senior center wants to send their van over, we might be able to look at something like that. But what I was told was they didn't think they'd have space, that they don't have a lot of space is what I was told. And so she literally sent me a picture of a round table with 6 chairs. So to me, that sends a message to me that
another room where they were getting ready to do bingo and we had could accommodate 49 or 50 people.
Is that because of the carpet? They don't want people to eat in the carpet?
I don't know. I said, I haven't been there.
But
if you send me a picture of a round table with 6 chairs, that tells me you're not that interested in having.
It would be possible for them to send their van to the armory with a list of names of people.
We would have the names. We would know who's getting a meal because they have to reserve it 24 hours in advance. So what I had asked them to do is all they really would have to do is number one, provide the space and make sure that the people that were getting a meal sign in. I think we could do a little agreement with them that we would probably work with the state because the state or the feds, I guess, it might actually be the feds that came out with this, and they kind of came out with it during the pandemic, but it doesn't look like to me, Courtney, that they let it go. So they talked about congregating at tailgates and congregating at a park, and I'm sure it came out of the pandemic, but we haven't seen it rescinded, so we're thinking we could do it. And they haven't told us we can. So yeah, if they do have more space, but that's, like I said, I haven't been over there. So that's the message I was getting. I did look at the library site. I went on their website and I looked at their strategic plan, which is old because it ended in 22, but one of their strategic plans was to partner with social service agencies. So I contacted them and said, hey, you know, would you have any space for us to have a congregate site there? And again, not wanting to put a lot of work on that space. I doubt they're going to do it, but figure it's an ask. Why not? So
I'll follow up with Blackwell. And so it's really, it would be possible. Am I safe in saying that? That it would be possible if they had the space and they were willing to have people sign a sheet that actually ate there.
Yeah, and I did let, I mean, I spoke with
it. Pick it up with their...
I spoke with Allie. So I think, yeah, I think we could work it out that way. I mean, I'll have to look back through things.
Yeah, but I know what they, it sounds,
and wine, When they explained it at the commission meeting, there were two or three that had different opinions about what how to interpret that. So it was it just wasn't clear.
Well, and okay, that's honestly, our regulations are kind of goofy. So I mean, I will be the first to say that. To me, if somebody is able to carry out a meal, that should be a congregate because you're obviously able to get there, get your meal, and leave. So you're not homebound. You're not in, you know, to me, it's silly, but those are the regulations right now that we're dealing with. So I think we could work it out. I certainly would, you know, and I think I presented that to Alice. She and I talked a little bit at length, but again, I haven't had a chance to be at the senior center, so I haven't seen it.
I talked to Jill a few weeks ago before they moved, so I haven't seen the new space, but she seemed to intimate that they had space and they wanted us to come, so that or the meal site to come. So maybe they found more space, that big room or something. I haven't been there to see it myself, but Jill sort of
said I personally haven't felt that.
It's on Facebook, there's pictures of it, all pictures of it. Check it out.
Yeah, I was actually over. I was in Plaka last week.
Conflicting stories. So some people say, yeah, it's really big. And some people,
oh, I'm sure it's smaller than what they had.
Well, yeah, I understand
but
that.
Yeah, it's not as big as what they would like.
You know, we've had a few people ask, you know, why we weren't there, and I said it's because we were offered what space we were offered. Then they offered us only a third of that, or well, probably it's a little more than a third, but and that's why we didn't end up there because we didn't think we could safely do what we do. I mean, so the kitchen at the Armory actually works well for the home delivered, right? Ginny's making that work. And I mean, that's taken, if we didn't have somebody experienced there, I think it could have been a lot worse, but with the amount of meals we're doing there, we just, you know.
That's a photo when they were moving.
So yeah, it just seems to me that, you know, when we're doing between 70 and 80 meals that we're delivering in Platteville, it seems to me that somebody could be a little more interested in partnering with us. But yeah, that was not the feeling that I was getting. So, but we're certainly willing to explore it. Okay, so we don't need to really take action on anything there.
One Lancaster meal site then vacancy?
So we do have, we are opening up the Lancaster meal site, and we did get, I got approval from Gary to post it. So we did post it internally because we did think we might have some people that might be interested. And I know we've got one app and we might have gotten another one. She may have gotten something in the mail yesterday, Monday being no mail. I haven't checked with Courtney. So we will be, I do need approval to fill that vacancy there that we have, so.
Okay, I need a motion then to approve the vacancy.
I'll make a motion.
Second?
I'll second.
So a motion made second to approve vacancy for the Lancaster meal site. When property fills. All in favor, say aye.
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 Approval of vouchers.
Any questions on the vouchers? I don't think we had anything too crazy in there.
And the motion to approve the vouchers, if I may.
I'll make a motion to approve the vouchers.
Second?
I'll second.
Motion made second. Approval of vouchers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye.
Financial report.
Again, I think we're on track pretty good with everything except our caregiver programs. And our biggest problem there is just difficulty in locating people who can do respite care. Both of those programs are pretty much aimed, AFCSP has to be 40% has to be directed to respite care. And we're just having trouble, the agencies who we obviously contract with just don't have enough workers either. So I'm hoping that that will ease up, but I don't know. We're gonna have to do something. We've already, you know, you guys already approved the policy for family members and friends, and we do some of that, but we're just not attracting. So one of the things we haven't done with NFCSP in a while, we do have the ability to work with grandparents who are raising grandchildren. So Nicole has reached out to social services on that. And so we're looking at maybe trying to attract some that way too, since we're just not getting a lot of caregivers signed up. But we will be doing some, a little bit more marketing of that. And hopefully we can get some in that we can provide some resources too. But it's difficult. It really is. Okay.
We need approval on the financial report. Motion approved.
I'll make a motion.
And a second.
I'll second it.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Did you second that?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Report.
I think you've got data. I apologize. See if you
displayed it besides my report. I don't see it. Well, I can pull it up, I think. Sorry about that. Let me see if I can find that. We are very busy. It has been a crazy month. We've had a couple of people out on vacation. Of course, this is our vacation time of year. And you have staff with young families, you have to go on vacation. But it has been, we're just seeing an increase. We are also seeing an increase in angrier people, or frustrated people. And we are looking at, I reached out to Fred and the sheriff about maybe doing some training on de-escalation. My staff are pretty good at it, but it can wear you down when you're getting angry people that you're really trying to just do good work for. But, you know, in some of the cases, we've got people who are made a lifetime of bad decisions and then are expecting us to undo them, and that doesn't work real well. But I do want to provide them with some training on that. I think it's needed right now. And Fred said they're seeing it too. With the unwinding, people are losing, you know, some of their benefits that they've had for a while now, and gotten kind of used to. So I think it's some of that as well. So we're hoping to at least give them some ability to deal with that. One thing not in my report was that we'd gotten this past week was Janet Zander, who's the advocacy person for GWAR, had sent out the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. And ADRC, it's looking to provide $2.5 million in 23 and 24 and $5 million in 24, 25 to increase ADRC base allocations. Now, mind you, I think we asked for $27 million. I mean, we'll take it.
What's the current allocation?
I literally tried to get Mary on that because I don't know offhand. And
I'm just trying to relate it to them.
I know. And
10 and 20%.
I don't know. I can't even tell you that. I asked Mary for it because I couldn't find it when I Googled it yesterday. And I don't think she got back to it. So I apologize because I don't know what it is, but I will try to find it. I thought it would be easier to find, but I couldn't find it. Adult Protective Services, which is not us, that would be social services, would be provided $1 million annually. Our Alzheimer's Family and Caregiver Support Program would be $250,000 annually, and increase the amount of AFCSP funding. DHS may provide to $3 million annually. This worries me because I can't spend it right now. We just don't have the capacity out here to do that. I wish we had it, but unless we can see some, you know, direct care workers, I don't, especially with AFCSP, because 40% of that budget has to be respite care. We can't find respite care. We're kind of in trouble. So home delivered meal services provides $225,000 annually to increase funding available for HDM. DHS is required to increase the state supplement to the home delivery program by $900,000 over the biennium. She said she was contacting them to clarify this. So there must be some confusion there. Home and community-based services, which would be more under family care, $43.7 million. And $182 million to fund costs associated with continuing the American Rescue Plan Act. So a lot there. Family care direct reimbursement was another $12.9 million. And then $7.9 million in 23-24 and $25.4 million in 24-25. And then personal care reimbursement to increase Medicare personal care reimbursement rates was $12.9 million in 23-24 and $25.4 million in 24-25. So we got some wins in there, not huge wins, but I guess a win's a win. I'm hoping, since it is the base allocation, we should see some of that in ADRC. We definitely need it. 10 years ago, when I came here, people were bored. I mean, we literally, the phone wasn't ringing. I had staff who were literally bored. And they would almost, I mean, it was almost like it was a competitiveness over who was going to, you know, get those phone calls and get a case. Now we're just the opposite. Now we are just, you know, the phone rings all the time. And much more, I would say, we're doing much more long-term functional screens, that sort of thing, which are time-consuming because not only do you have to go out to the home and assess, but it takes a long time to then put that information in. And then the state has to review it in order to determine eligibility too. So those are much more complicated and lengthier, and we're seeing a lot more of those. Now, on the one hand, I think it's because we got really awesome staff who word spreads when you know, I would say majority of new people that walk in the door, it's because either a family member told them or a neighbor told them, something like that. Because if you look, we don't advertise our services that much. We don't do that many outreach events because I
think you do.
I do in little ways. If you notice, I commandeered the tripod out there that was empty on the table. So.
You have news and views.
True.
And you run an ad every week, don't you?
Yeah, I think when you look at regionally and some of the other counties, they do more events, I guess, and we don't do as many of those because honestly.
But word of mouth is still.
I don't, we couldn't, we can't take on more.
The best sales tool you got. So.
The state got some ARPA funding, I think it's ARPA or wherever, and they're using it to market and do a lot more promotion of ADRCs. And I'm like, before you start marketing us more, how about you give us money so we can take on more? Because, yeah, don't be putting out things when we don't have the capacity. And part of it is I am telling staff, you've got to book out a little later. That is, you know, it's not great customer service. It's not what we like to do. But realistically, I can't have them just taking on so much that they can't keep up either, because then we'll lose them. So, and they do a great job. So anyway, I wanted to just share that with you. I don't think there's anything else, unless you've got something on the report that you're concerned about. I think our numbers are there. I don't know. Did I put the average? Oh, it didn't come out. Shoot. He did. It's not what I get when Courtney's not here. I can't get through all my papers. I was hoping it bring it out. Oh, it did. So if you look at the program report on the back, this is ADRC. So the total number of contacts that we've got. If you look at ours, 535, 483, 570, 513, but the region average is 315. And then total number of encounter contacts. So these are actually contacts with our consumers. Again, the average across the region is 269. And you look at our numbers, over 400. So our staff are busy. And they like to be busy, but they're real busy. Any questions? Any questions on the program reports? Oh, one last thing I think that wasn't on my report was I did buy a vehicle. So we got...
Who let you do that?
I make Bob a... I always make Bob approve it. I make Bob approve, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to pull the trigger on this, but you have to tell me it's fine because I just don't like to spend $50,000 without somebody saying, yeah, it's fine. So yeah, we were able to use, we've got money in our trust fund and we had written it in there. However, the state procured vehicles have been backed up. Tim had said they hadn't even gotten their 2020 vehicle. It was just crazy. So we actually got, I contacted a couple places. There was one on the lot that's very similar to our wheelchair van taxi that we have now. So we were able to get that just a little over 50,000. So we got approval from the state. I called him the other day and said, will you bring it down here so I don't have to come and get it? And he said, I'll bring any vehicle you want to buy, Lori. And I'm like, okay, well, that's good. So it will be delivered as soon as I can work out with finance a check. So we'll be getting that, which will be really nice because we do need a backup to the taxi. I did ask the state because we had written in a vehicle for 23 and 24. And I said it might back that up to both in 23 because I am concerned we have a lot of money. We're only supposed to have 80,000 in our trust fund and we had 180,000. Now that's because we weren't running transportation programs and we had the ability to shift that money. We were certainly not the only ones in the state, but eventually, because we had more in there prior to the pandemic and they had told me then they were going to start dealing with that, which meant they're going to take some of it away. So I want to get another vehicle if we can. I was looking at a rear wheelchair van, but then I got looking. I go in and look at different county sites sometimes, and Washburn had gotten a transit van that holds more people, holds two wheelchairs and a few more people. And the nice thing about it is you can pretty much stand up in it. Well, I probably most definitely can stand up in it. Maybe some of you tall people may still have to bend down a little bit, but I won't have any problems. So I think that's the biggest concern I have with our wheelchair van sometimes is if you are, you know, ambulatory, I think they're a little hard to get to that back seat because you got to kind of hunch over. I mean, again, I don't have to very much, but some people would. The transit van would hold a few, and it kind of goes hand in hand with what we were looking at in terms of providing for community events. So we could pick up maybe a few more people plus the wheelchair than we could get in the taxi. It's a little bigger. It's a little more expensive too. I think it's running about 71,000. But I still think it's doable. He actually said he would bring one out so we could take a look at it. With that, there's an add-on piece of, that would make it more expensive that takes the wheelchair lift and slides it over and provides steps and handrails so that people could access it that way too, which would be really nice. Mm-hmm. And a much better way of getting in than say more like a bus, mm-hmm, instead of a van where you're just kind, yeah, of so I really liked that. So I think we will take a look at that and I'll probably bring that back. You guys have approved two vehicles. You did not approve the transit, but again, we've got the money and I'm worried the money will go down the road pretty soon if we don't get it spent. So, and there's no sense in us applying for a 5310 grant to wait 3 years on a vehicle. So I think we'll look at it. But Washburn was using it for like their community events. They were doing some concerts and things like that. The one thing I liked about it is that you could have a couple that could ride together easily, or a family could go pick somebody up at the nursing home and all ride together a little easier than most of the time, you know, with the wheelchair vans, it's the wheelchair person in there and just not a lot of other family members are able to ride with. And then it, you know, then it kind of makes you feel a little more isolated. So I think this would be a nice idea. Plus, I think it could be like if our bus doesn't have that many riders on a day, it might be an option to use that versus having the big bus out on the road. So I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool. So, all right, that's all I have. Any questions for me or? I will tell Courtney she was very much missed because if you look at my if you look at my minutes, they're not much. So. Yes.
Okay, that's all. Then I need to entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion to adjourn.
And second.
I'll second.
Motion made, second to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Bye-bye. Have a good day.
You too.
Take care.
All right.
Yeah,